Tonight, I would like to introduce, as our 10-minute speaker, Curtis S. from San Diego.
Wow. My name's Kurt. I'm an alcoholic. Okay. I got sober. Sorry. I got sober July 14th, 2011. I was 20 years old, 6 days after my birthday. My story is probably a lot like the rest of ours, but I will tell you that by 9 years old, I was drinking with a neighbor who is what I now know an alcoholic, and we started drinking. He was like 40 years old. I was 9 years old. We were watching Lord of the Rings with my family because it was always acceptable with my family to drink. And we started taking shots of 151, and I blacked out, and that was that. Don't remember the rest of the movie, obviously, and swore I would never do that again. Like, that was the worst thing ever. By 12, see, that's sixth grade, smoking pot, drinking a lot, and just, you know, I don't know, starting the spiral. And then when I was 14, 13, I wrecked my motorcycle. I used to race motorcycles, wrecked my motorcycle, ended up getting prescribed some painkillers, and that was the beginning of the end for me. Went into high school freshman year, strung out on Oxycontin, drinking all the time, and I don't know, my life got real miserable, you know. I thought it was normal for a while. I thought it was like if you guys just knew what this was like, you'd do it too. And turns out it wasn't that way. By 17, I'd had 3 heart attacks, and couldn't stop doing drugs. And I tested out of high school and got to running. And very quickly, I started to destroy the few things that I did have left in my life. And you know, the things that were most important to me, my relationships with my family, my mother, my father, my cousins, all that stuff. I threw all that stuff in the trash, and every time for a drink or a drug. And I don't know. You know, I did it for a long time. And I'm fortunate because I hear some people talk about, like, I didn't get sober until I was 40 years old or whatever, and that's insanity to me. There's no way. And in 6 years, I had ran myself into the ground and tried to take my life, you know, by drinking or by using, and never could, you know. And I was so miserable. I was always, always miserable. I just wanted to die. That was all I could think about on a daily basis. I'd wake up in the morning, be pissed off that I woke up again, and swear I would never do the things that I was doing. And in each, you know, it seemed like each day I crossed that line, and I did more things I swore I'd never do. And I started stealing from the people I loved. I started lying to the people I loved. And yeah, you know, I just got super miserable. And I don't, finally, you know, my birthday came around. It was my 20th birthday. And I was drinking a lot. I was doing a lot of PCP, and I was doing a lot of heroin, and a lot of cocaine. And I thought I was going to have another heart attack. And mind you, at this point, I was homeless for a while. I was surfing on the couch surfing, then I was homeless. And then my mother let me back in, told me I could stay in the trailer. But I wasn't allowed in the house unless they were awake or home. You know, they had to be home. And if they weren't awake, I was definitely not allowed in the house. And I was allowed in the house to shower, use the bathroom, and get out. Like, that was it. And so one night I was getting loaded in this bathroom that's about the size of this podium. And I don't know, I thought I was going to have another heart attack. And I was miserable, and I had gone to detox. I had gone to rehab. I'd done it 3-4 times. And that was it. I was like, hey, this is what I have to do. Like, I'm going to die. This is what I need to do. And the next morning, I was fortunate my dad was there. I went in, I talked to my dad. He took me down to rehab, to detox. And I went in there and started doing the intake thing. And then the lady's like, yeah, it looks like, you know, you've been here 3 times. And it's just, we really don't think, like, you're going to benefit from another trip. Like, those other people out there in the waiting room, like, they've never done this. And they might have a better chance. And And, like, that hit home, you know. I had burned every bridge. Like, this is the last place that was supposed to help me that was like, dude, you've done this. Like, we've done everything we can do for you, and we don't think it's going to help. And I wanted to go home that night and kill myself, you know. And I was driving back home, and my dad was arguing with me, telling me to call this person. And this person happened to be an AA, and I was like, you know, screw that guy. I don't want to talk to that guy. Like, I've done this. It doesn't work. And he called my father's phone, and my dad handed me the phone right away. And the first words out of his mouth were like, hey, I had this feeling like I really needed to check in on you. And, you know, I didn't know it then, but that was definitely God working in my life. And he came, picked me up, took me to a meeting. We started reading the book. And I did start doing the work. I got to my fourth step. I wrote out my fourth step. And then I decided that, like, nobody else needed to hear any of that. And so I sat on it for about a year and a half. I got real miserable with no drugs, no alcohol. And it took one of my buddies coming in. A lot of my buddies actually came in. And one of them stayed sober. And the one that stayed sober is the one that did the work. And he's still sober today. And that for me was enough to, like, okay, like, maybe it works. If it works for that guy, because that guy was hopeless too. Like, he's happy. Maybe this will work. And I started doing the work. I got really happy for a long time. And then I got into a relationship, and I got real miserable real quick. And, you know, I kind of held that person hostage. I didn't leave for some selfish reasons and some not selfish reasons. And we split up, and when we split up, it was kind of it was a hard thing. And, you know, I was 6 years sober, and, like, that was the first time in four and a half years that I thought about, like, getting loaded, you know, because I didn't want to feel the way I felt, and I was tired of it. And and I had reached out to someone in the rooms, and, you know, someone that I knew was going to give me an honest answer, and that was not really biased to me or that person. And, then, you know, he asked me a couple questions, and I wasn't entirely honest that first day, because I didn't know what was, like, what I was really feeling. And, and then we met up again, and I started doing the work, and my life has gotten, like, progressively better. I'm 27 years old. I've had my own business for five years now, and it's just thing, you know, it's huge. The material things I thought I wanted, that I thought I needed, are not the things that I want, and not the things that I need. I got a lot of them, but then that wasn't what made me happy. I think the thing that made me happiest was, like, my relationship with my family. You know, my mom and I weren't very close for a while. She had some issues. I had a lot of issues. And today my mom and I are very close. And my father, like, my dad and I had a good relationship growing up as a child. I started doing drugs. All that went out the window. I stole a ton of money from my dad. And I was always super upset and whatever. And it's not like that today. You know, I call my dad, talk to him on the phone, I tell him I love him. And you know, and he tells me he loves me too. And my little cousins that I used to go in their house and steal the money out of their piggy banks, and steal their video games, and sell their PlayStation, sell all their video games, and everything I could steal, I would sell. And I go and I get to see them, and they love me, and they tell me they love me, and they know that I love them too, and that's, like, that's huge. I'm a very big person with family, and to just, like, all of that is a result of doing those steps, you know, and walking the process. And when things get hard, getting back in the book doesn't always sound fun, but that's definitely been the answer. And, like, I'm super happy. I'm super nervous because I'm up here in front of a bunch of people, but I'm incredibly happy. I was not asked to speak here. I was told that I was speaking here. And it was like, hey, on the 28th, you need to be here because you're the 10-minute speaker. And that's okay, you know. I'm incredibly grateful to be clean and sober and happy, and to have a host of friends and a bunch of people that are in the rooms to support me and my friend. And there's a bunch of faces that I hadn't seen, some people I didn't know were going to be here. And I don't know, I'm just grateful to be clean and sober, so thank you.